Welcome back to the Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is playing at the House of Blues this Thursday night. It'll be the first time he's been in Chicago in over a decade. So how about an extra special warm welcome for Richard Ashcroft?
Is it true what they say? Nothing in life is free. Are you looking this way? Surely this can't be. I know that you ain't like the other ones. March to a different beat, babe. Banging a different drum. Told you before that they don't own, they don't own me. I think I told you before that they don't own, they don't own me.
Ashcroft is one of the UK's greatest singer-songwriters. He was the frontman for The Verve, a band that exploded on the Britpop scene alongside Oasis and Blur. His song Bittersweet Symphony is considered one of the best songs of all time. That album, Urban Hymns, stands up as a classic even today, and it's hard to believe that it's 20 years old this year. But that's just a slice of Richard Ashcroft's career. His solo work is also highly regarded, with records like Alone with Everybody and Human Conditions. His latest album, These People, is his first in 6 years. It's getting good reviews, and he's now on a U.S. tour. Like I said, at the House of Blues on Thursday night, it's my pleasure to welcome the great Richard Ashcroft to the Download tonight. Richard, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for that introduction. Very kind.
So it's been over a decade since you've played in Chicago, and you've played here a lot with Verve and other places. Talk about what you know about Chicago and what kind of town Chicago is for you on stage.
As a young man, you know, with the Verve, it was a great place to play. Yeah, there were some of our most memorable shows. I'm trying to remember the actual venue, whether it was the Metro or, is that right?
Metro. Of course.
I think that was the first time anybody had encountered the Baby Yeager back in the day, which I think that had that might have had devastating effects on the tour, but yeah, I've got very fond memories of playing Chicago with the fans. They were very appreciative of the music. Of course, the city itself's got such an incredible history. At the time, you know, in the 90s, we would be finding great vinyl, you know, great instrument shops. It was a bit of a paradise, really, for a young musician. Chicago, to come through purely for those reasons. One, the crowd were very receptive. They were up for us to jam and us to take it out there. But as a town, it was great for a young guy, you know, who's hungry to look for music, whether it be records or looking for instruments and et cetera. So, it was good times, man.
It's hard to believe that Urban Hymns is 20 years old. For you to think about that record, to think about that album, you know, and I know it still stays with you. Why do you think that record and the music that was on it still resonates today with fans? I mean, my wife just texted and said, Richard Ashcroft is, you know, Bittersweet Symphony is on in the cab. I mean, it's still played over and over here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, I am very fortunate to have tapped into something that is timeless, really. And I think you get that with a great movie or a great book. Music's different because you can play it over and over again, whereas, you know, you have to be a kind of Star Wars freak to see it 100 times or whatever. But when you hit that sort of vein of timelessness, basically, I think it means for the audience, the listener, is that there's never a sense of this thing being kind of involved in fashion. It's not involved in anything transient. It resonates on a deep human level that I think somebody gave me an analogy that in Portugal, in small village, as a young man, you may be given the job of singing a folk song, you know, at the summer festival. And in your 50s, does this song potentially make you cry? Does it bring tears to the singer's eyes as all the empathy of life gets wrapped up in the song? Mm-hmm. And I think these songs were written by a younger man, but they were words and lyrics and melodies that were came from, something that's much greater than that, much bigger. And yeah, and there's a, I think it was a good time really to record, because it was the birth of digital in the studio for me, so I could experiment with the first thing with Pro Tools. So we had two Pro Tools rigs and the tape machine, so we had a foot firmly in the analog world, but
yeah,
the
right.
digital helping us on the techniques of creating a song like Bittersweet Symphony, where to create those like 120 different loops that are going on there, that would have taken us like 6 months, you know, like 5-10 years prior to that. But for me as a creator, right place, right time with the technology, but starting the base point was still the song. So it was a good, and also the guys in the band were reaching a great level. You know, when we were never musos, I think that's an important thing, is like I wanted to make something that was universal and popular, but I'm not a muso. I don't really know how to get there, but it's kind of making that attempt to capture that spirit, maybe of things that you've loved in the past, you know. So instead of being able to copy them, I can't really copy them. I'm just trying to aim at a spirit.
Yeah.
And I think I tapped into that, you know.
There's something great. I mean, even the solo work, and this might have to do with working with collaborators like Chris Potter or Will Malone. And there is something about your music, your solo music, that just seems to be a logical and consistent extension of the Verve music. I mean, you hear it,
yeah.
And it is just, I mean, the word consistent comes along. I mean, a Richard Ashcroft song, I mean, it sounds like it could be on Urban Hymns. Talk about how important
Urban
it is
Hymns,
for that consistency.
Yeah, I think so. I think the reason why that is because it's the journey. It's the same soul. For a lot of the writing and recording of Urban Hymns, the project was under the name of my first solo record, so the band had kind of split up, and the bass player and the drummer, Simon and Peter, said that they were happy to play on my first solo record. So that's where you suddenly see, from the first two Verve albums, suddenly this kind of much more crystallized songwriting comes in. But near the end of that project, I think through a mixture of fear or whatever it was, I kind of rang Nick and got Nick to play some guitar, and then it became a Verve album. So if it had come out as my solo record, then I think it would be a lot easier for people to appreciate that sort of journey from Urban Hymns onwards, because it quite simply is my journey, songwriter journey, philosophical, spiritual, all parts of that journey. And now I'm here with this new one of these people, and I think yeah, it's a great time to be releasing music, because I feel as if a world that I recognized many people didn't, but I believe it's right in their faces now, and it's undeniable. So it's going to be a good time for me to be a bit of a soundtrack to certain people's lives, because I think I'm reflecting more, not only my own inner conflicts and turmoils, but also the ones on the outside that are ripping us apart as people. We're losing our sense of humanity, and we're being divided into different factions, and I don't believe in that. Then I think music and the show in Chicago and any show I play is a great opportunity for me and the audience to leave all that behind. And music is the power, is that unifying, powerful thing that transcends all of that stuff, you know. So
yeah,
that's kind of why I've got a big problem. There's a lot of people, it seems like there's a lot of musicians are suddenly so political in the last 6-8 months, a year. You've been very quiet for a long time, but now everyone's so political, and I think it's like, yeah, it's great to be, go for it, but don't patronize, you know, potential audience members. Don't diss people, you know, for their own opinions. You know, I don't believe in the paradigm anyway, so I'm not into that left right Democrat, Labor, conservative thing like we've got going in our hometown. So,
Richard, let me ask you this.
Because of music.
You know, I mean, I it's interesting because a lot of these people, some of the issues that you're singing about on the record, just as you just mentioned, are really about today, even though this record was released over the summer. I mean, there's an 8-9 month difference to, you know, the music that the issue is talking about. But the balance in your music, and it's always, I've always been just the gravitation to it, is this balance between joyfulness and the darkness. And you have a way of balancing that, not unlike politics and political issues, but this way of, like, you sing about anxieties, paranoias, but then you also, the music is so enlightening. It is almost like the darkness before the light. Talk about how you approach a Richard Ashcroft song.
Yeah, I'm back from the early days when I was in the studio. I always used to want to reach this point when I felt the record was finished, where my hands almost raised, almost as if I was in a in a gospel church or something, where I basically raise my hands to the sky. I feel like, yeah, I'm being elated, I'm transcending. This is when the song would reach its peak. But I do feel that, like, the industry I'm in, like the movie industry, so much of what it projects is a kind of nihilistic attitude. So many people have probably died along the way trying to be a Keith Richards or something, you know, and Keith Richards just won the lottery of life as far as his ability to consume different things. And I think a lot of, I'm aware more, I think, of where I'm from, is how those subjects become way more real and difficult for people when they haven't got a steady supply of money, or they don't live in a lifestyle that allows them to live a kind of hedonistic life. And, you know, on Friday, the weekend, they're hedonistic, and they can spend like a week in some $10,000 health farm or whatever. In reality, life's tough for people. Drugs wreck a lot of lives as well. Do you know what I mean? And it'd be easy to just constantly promote this kind of nihilistic idea of what it's to be a musician, to live this life, this lifestyle. And I think for me, a record has got some of my songs, I really want to give that. You know, I've lost people in the past that I feel like if they could only have phoned me, they'd still be here. And I feel like sometimes a record's got to be that phone call, potentially. Mm. You know, maybe the phone call didn't happen, but the record, the song, music can save lives. That's as simple as that. That's what I believe, you see. And I think it's so untapped yet in the power of it. You know, I believe, you know, things can probably be in the past, you know, I'm sure the pyramids and things like that were used, the tones and things were used in different ways, in healing people and moving things and all different ways. So music is amazingly powerful. Yeah. And I believe that a lot of people have the knowledge of that. And that's why I think that for a majority of people, we are given a kind of watered down version of what's possible within music, lyrically and spiritually in every other way, because if we harness that power, it would be incredible. So for me, a record has got to move me. It's got to excite me. It's got to give me feelings of great love. It's got to make me feel like I want to cry. It's got to touch all those points for me personally. It's got to feel, if I feel, want a song to echo the alienation of sometimes walking around an urban environment, everyone's staring at a screen with their headphones on and you're on your own on the subway or the train, that's how it's got to sound. I've got to find that way of creating it. I do like thinking of people with headphones walking around listening to it. I like the idea of my first, you know, my hardcore fans putting that record on for the first time and hearing, say, on this album, Out of My Body, and 1 minute Johnny Cash, next minute's like Chic, then you're into Deep House. It's like, right, what's going on here, you know? Because I still believe there is a future for the spirit of rock and roll and the sound and everything else, where we're going to take that spirit to a new place, you know. It's going to take a little while. People are doing it in a way, but in a very kind of plastic way. I think there's still a way of, like, getting across to people that this thing is real and it's something worth protecting and holding on to and celebrating, not just treating like trash, you know what I mean? Treating like it's just like any other art form. It isn't. It's the greatest, most powerful art form in the world. And to me, I know nothing. I'm just lucky that I hit a few chords. It's still like the bird said, you know what I mean? The bird said, you want to be a rock and roll star. They laid it down, the rules, and it's still there for people to be had. They can express themselves with one chord. You don't even need to know all the jazz. You don't need to know any three chords, two chords. Just do it. And I think that's the beauty of this thing. It's like, as the world becomes more and more synthetic, we want to feel like a connection with a human being. You know, we're finding it harder and harder to have those moments, I think. And the entertainment world's making it more and more synthetic. So concerts become more and more important. I really believe that, where not only do we leave all our stuff, prejudice and this, that, at the door, we don't know who we're standing with in that arena or in that bar or in that club. We don't know who we're with. All we're there for is the music and the performer, and to have that unifying experience, you know what I mean, and see a human being, maybe make a mistake and stuff. You see, that's what's missing as well, you know. It's like things are so perfect now, so it's great when you see someone snap a string, it's great when you see something go wrong, because that's life, man. And I think all of that should be in the live experience, and I think it should be I still see albums as albums, I still see them as complete pieces of work, you know. And I think we'll go full circle. I still think a lot of the great hip hop guys now, they still see that album as being important. Do you know what I mean? Even though people are streaming one song or they take one tune or two or three, it's still important to lay down your what you're feeling right now. And I've been away for a few years, so now I'm intending to creatively, recording wise, really steam up now and get a lot of work out.
Well, the latest album is These People. It's a great album. Richard Ashcroft is at the House of Blues coming up on Thursday night here in Chicago. The longtime solo artist and also the frontman for The Verve in Chicago for the first time in over a decade. The seminal album, Urban Hymns, 20 years old this year. Richard Ashcroft, I cannot thank you enough for taking time out to talk to us tonight.
It's been a great pleasure, man. Thank you so much. Take care, man.
Cause it's a bittersweet symphony.